It was not the first time Jerusalem had been flooded with people shouting Hosanna. That was Passover. It happened every year. With branches representing victory, pilgrims would stream into the gates prepared to recite together Psalm 113 through 118, including the joyful greeting, Hosanna, Lord save us, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But this was different. The rabbi on the donkey was a sensation, a worker of true miracles, and a teacher unlike any other. It was said he had raised a dead man back to life. Surely he had the power of God. Those fortunate enough to see him entering the city shouted out their greetings and made the way more beautiful by laying down their cloaks and branches, as they would do for the most honored of men. That was Passover. That was the celebration of the blood of the lambs. God kept his word, and the angel passed over their sons in Egypt. How many hoped this man would be that angel of death for the Romans? How few understood that he was, instead, the Lamb. The Lamb whose blood would save them from sin and death. Had they known, would they have gone silent? Or would they have joined us today, shouting more loudly still, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Let me invite you to take your hymnal. Let's sing together hymns number 323 and 324. Begin with At the Cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. And love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, rolled away. And now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by
They welcomed him. They threw a parade in his honor. They sang his praises. They waved the palm branches. They put their garments on the ground. And they celebrated as they welcomed home a king. They didn't realize who he was. He wasn't just their king. He was the King of all kings. And just a few hours after that, not long, they would formally celebrate Passover. That's why they were there that weekend in the first place. They were there to celebrate Passover. And part of the Passover celebration was to sing the songs and to shout, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So when Jesus comes, they shout and they sing and they celebrate Passover, but they didn't understand. They thought they were celebrating the fact that on the first Passover, they were set free from the enemy. That they were allowed to go and be God's people. But they missed a major part of the story, because the way Passover worked was they had to kill that lamb first, and then his blood covered their door And the angel of death then passed over them, hence Passover. And so they celebrated the day Jesus came in, but they really didn't even know what they were doing. Because he wasn't the great military leader they were looking for. He wasn't the earthly king that could stomp out the Roman government. He was the Passover lamb whose blood would be shed in order that God's people could be set free. They were celebrating Passover, but they didn't even really understand just how much Passover they were living at that moment. The reason Jesus came to town that day was not to be a part of a parade. Matter of fact, he avoided parades as much as he could. He avoided the parties and the accolades. It wasn't his thing. That's not why he came. So he didn't come for the parade. The reason he came to Jerusalem that day was so that he could make his way to Calvary and die for us. We sing, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And it did. But you know, on that same hill, there were other crosses as well. There were probably many crosses, but there were at least three. And as we make our way to the table in just a moment, as we make our way there, I want us to stop and think about those three crosses. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, we're in Luke chapter 23 this morning. Luke chapter 23, I want us to pause for just a couple of moments to look at those three crosses. Eddie, I don't have my remote, so you're going to be my remote today, okay? All right, you're a good man. Don't care what everybody else says. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. Now, looky there. That's why we have associate pastors. Luke 23 at 32. Two others also, who were criminals, were being led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right, the other on the left. I want you to think about those three crosses, because each cross was there to signify something very important. The first cross that we see is the cross of rejection. You see at verse 34, Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." They cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. The people stood by looking on. Even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, "He saved himself. Let him save." He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering sour wine, saying, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." And there was also an inscription above him, "This is the king of the Jews." And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." It was the cross of rejection, as the one looked at him and he joined the people on the ground mocking him and making fun of Jesus. You see, this first criminal on the cross of rejection, he rejected Christ because he despised the presence of Christ. He should have heard what Jesus said, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He should have seen the sign that had been put above his head and recognized that he was the king of the Jews sent by God, but instead he despised his presence. He didn't even want Jesus around. Not only did he despise his presence, he despised the person of Jesus Christ. Here he is, this criminal, on the brink of eternity, at the edge of hell itself, and yet he mocks the only one who could have helped him in that moment. He despised the person of Jesus Christ. Not only did he despise the presence and the person, but he despised the power of Jesus Christ. You see how he mocks that power? One of the criminals who was hanged there was hurling insults at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." You the Christ? Prove it. Prove it. Do a dance. Create a miracle. Do something cool. Save yourself. And hey, while you're at it, why don't you save me too? Mocking him, despising his power. And that first criminal finds himself in the same position as so many people today. So many people miss heaven because their own pride, their own refusal to accept the Savior for who he is. The first cross that we see is the cross of rejection. But then I want you to see the second cross, and that was the cross of reception. You see, there were two criminals crucified next to Jesus. It says, "The other answered and rebuking him said, 'Do you not even fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation?'" He said, "Dude, we finna die. Doesn't that do anything for you?" He said, "Doesn't that make you think a little bit about these priorities? Here you're mocking this man. And we're about to die. We're about to meet our Maker. Don't you even fear God?" He said, "We're under the same sentence of condemnation. All three of us received the death penalty. But in verse 41, he says, 'We indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.'" You see, this man did a couple of things. First, he looked at the Savior. He looked at Jesus. He saw him face to face, and he saw him badly beaten and bloody and marred, and he saw holiness there, and he said, "This man is innocent. This man has done nothing. Don't you fear God? This man obviously is connected to God. There's something about this man. You ought to be paying attention." You see, he looked at the Savior, and he saw something different than the other fellow saw. He looked in the face of the Nazarene, and he saw the Son of God. But not only did he look at the Savior, he listened to the Savior, and he heard the Savior say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And he immediately realized, "I don't know what I'm doing. What have I done? I'm here, and it's my fault. I deserve this. But this man doesn't deserve it." And he heard that voice of forgiveness, and he knew that's what he needed. And so he says in verse 42, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." See, this man was not sitting in a comfortable pew with air conditioning and fancy lights and all the comforts. He wasn't listening to the four spiritual laws or the bridge presentation of salvation. He wasn't surrounded by Christians who loved each other and took care of one another. He had never seen a single page of the New Testament. He was racked with pain. He was enduring unspeakable humiliation. He was experiencing the worst fears of his life, and yet he believed. Because he looked at Jesus and listened to Jesus. when he looked to see his Savior dying on the cross, broken and bleeding for him, it changed him. And when he heard the Savior speak, and he heard the voice of forgiveness, it changed him. That cross became the cross of reception. He received that gift of grace. So John says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Don't go through this Holy Week. Don't rush through these next few days toward Easter without stopping at Calvary. Don't rush past the cross to get to the Easter egg hunt. Stop. Look and listen. Stop long enough to experience what happened at Calvary. Look long enough to see your Savior bleeding for you. Listen long enough to hear him say, Father, forgive them. There were three crosses that day. One was a cross of rejection. The other was a cross of reception. And the third was the cross of redemption. It was a cross of redemption. If you still have your Bible open, I want to encourage you to turn with me over toward the right and find the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 7. I want us to look very quickly at the cross of redemption. There's one quick verse here that we've got to see before we get to the table. Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 7. In him, that's Jesus Christ, that's the one dying on the cross of redemption, the man in the middle, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. In him we have redemption, and that was through his blood. Redemption means to buy something back. It's used to buy a slave out of slavery. Redemption then is Jesus paying our penalty, paying the price to buy us out of our life of sin that will end in death. He buys us out of the realm of the enemy that will end in eternal separation from God. He buys us out of those in order that we can become children of God. You see, the truth is simple. If you sin, you die. The wages of sin is death. When I work, my paycheck is my wages. I get what I earn, my wages. The wages of sin is death. If you sin, you die. So is that you? Is that me? Well, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us has sinned. Therefore, every one of us should pay the death penalty for our sin. But Jesus comes in and he says, I love you so much, I'm going to pay your death penalty for you. I'm going to redeem you out of what you owe. I'm going to redeem you out of that sin and the death penalty. I'm going to take the death penalty on your behalf so that now you can receive my grace and you can be set free. You see, it's a cross of redemption. It's through his blood for the forgiveness of sin. Isaiah says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. He He redeems us by His blood for the forgiveness of sin. There were three crosses, at least three crosses, on that hill that day. There was a cross of rejection, a cross of reception, and a cross of redemption. One man died in sin. Another man died to sin. And then the man in the middle died for sin.